Greetings for everybody.
我们开始之前，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray before we start our sermon.
亲爱的天父，我们感谢你。
Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you.
我们可以在这里去敬拜你。
We can be here to worship you.
特别十二月是纪念主耶稣降生的一个月。
Especially December is the month that we celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday.
我们感谢主给我们的救恩。
We thank salvation given from the Lord.
求主建立你自己的教会。
May you establish your own church.
通过你的话语建立我们每一个人。
And strengthen us through your word.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Hear our prayers. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
你有没有发觉呢？遵守神的旨意是一个很困难的事情呢？
Have you ever experienced?That following, doing God's will is a difficult thing.
我还有发觉的就是，有一个很令人费解的一个现象。
I also find that this phenomenon that is difficult to understand.
那如果一个人违背神的旨意，他遇到困难，我们可以了解。
If one disobeys God's will and he's facing troubles.We understand it's the discipline from God.
因为这个就是神的管教。
Yeah, because it's God's discipline.
这个就好像呢，神管教约拿先知一样。
Just as the Lord is disciplining Jonah.
但是我们发觉呢，人遵守神的旨意的时候，有的时候我们还是会遇到困难。
But we also find that sometimes, even when we are doing God's will,And God still don't let it happen smoothly.
为什么这个全知全能的神不使我们一帆风顺呢？
Why God did not make us successful with this omnipotent and omniscient God?
那这个现象也发生在以色列人的身上。
And this also happens for the Israel.
那我们看以斯拉记你就看就会了解。
If you look at the book of Ezra, you will find this fact.
第一章讲到了波斯王撒鲁斯呢，他释放以色列人回耶路撒冷。
In chapter 1 of Ezra, it says King Cyrus asked Israel to be returned to Jerusalem.
那不但如此，波斯王还负责他们这次旅程的经济上面的需要。
Not only so, the king also supported the Israelites with economic help.
这个圣经很明显告诉我们，这个是神的旨意。
God clearly told us the decision made from the Persian king is actually God's own will and plan.
所以到第五章里面呢，有五万个以色列人呢愿意回去耶路撒冷。
So if we read chapter 2, there's more than 50,000 Israelites they return.
这五万人放弃呢，他本来在巴比伦很安静的生活。
And those people who give up their peaceful life in the land of Babylon.
走百里的路去到耶路撒冷。
They return to Jerusalem for walking over 900 miles.
这个就是为要重建这个圣殿。
And they want to rebuild the God's temple.
第三章我们见到呢，他们回到耶路撒冷的时候，他第一样事情就是要建立这个祭坛。
And we see that in chapter 3, the first thing they do is rebuild God's altar.
这个很明显，他就是这批人呢，把神放在他人生的第一位。
It's clearly that they give up their living necessities or livelihood. Livelihood so that they can concentrate on God's plan.
那这些这么听话的以色列人，神应该祝福他们一帆风顺呢？
So they actually are doing God's will, and why God did not make them successful?
我们看到第四章的时候呢，你就觉得神没有让他们一帆风顺。
But we see one chapter 4, God did not let them to be moving things smoothly.
反而呢，遇到很多波折。
And instead, they are having a lot of difficult and troubles.
所以呢，我希望呢，从第四章今天的经文里面，走进我们对遵守神的旨意的期望。
So today, I'm hoping that through study of chapter 4, we can make a correction of on the expectations.
所以第一点呢，我们从第四章里面学到的就是神未曾应许，他的旨意不受难阻。
The first point that we're going to learn is that God has not promised his will would not be hindered.
那第一节呢，他说犹大人和便雅悯的敌人听说被掳归回的人为耶和华以色列的上帝造殿宇。
Verse 1, it says, When the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exile were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel.
那是因为他们听到他们要建圣殿呢，这些敌人才找以色列人麻烦。
So these people, the enemies of Israel, when they hear they are rebuilding God's temple, so they are bringing troubles for the Israelites.
换句话说呢，如果以色列人不听耶和华的旨意的时候，他们不会遇到以下的麻烦的。
In other words, if the Israelites don't do God's will, they may not have this trouble.
正因为他们遵守神的旨意，他才惹来这个飞来的蝗，这些就是这些灾祸。
And this is just because, they are doing God's will, and this trouble comes.
这个跟我们平常呢在基督教杂志啊，或者你听弟兄姐妹分享的见证不太一样。
And this is different from most of the testimony we hear of in the church.
一般我们听到弟兄姐妹就是说啊，我遵守神的话，神就怎么祝福我喜乐平安。
The typical testimony is we obey God's will and God give us peaceful and joy.
但是呢，圣经里面其实有很多例子，就是人遵守神的旨意，反而遇到困难。
Actually, in the Bible, there are many examples that we listen to God's will, but we are facing the difficulties.
比方说，我们看出埃及记十七章的时候呢，这些以色列人出埃及的时候，这些以色列全会众都遵守耶和华的吩咐往前行。
Exodus 17, verse 1, the whole Israelite community traveled from place to place as the Lord commanded.
但是最后他们的结果是什么呢？
But as a result,
百姓没有水喝。
There was no water for the people to drink.
同样的事情也发生在主耶稣身上。
The similar thing happens in the Lord Jesus himself.
马太福音四章的第一节说当时耶稣被给圣灵引领到旷野受魔鬼的试探。
In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
那我们常常以为呢，你顺从圣灵的时候呢，我们人生就可以脆疾背诵。
A lot of times we think that if we are doing God's will, we can be successful without trouble.
但是圣经在提摩太后书三章十二节里面提醒我们，不但如此，凡立志在基督耶稣里，进前度日的，必要，都要受逼迫。
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted.
那神的敌人呢，攻击，这些遵守神旨意的人呢？
God's enemy, when they attacked God's people,
他不一定是明刀明枪的。
They may not confront people they may not directly confronted.
有的时候呢，他把他们的攻击呢，装饰成为一个祝福。
Sometimes their attack is hidden in the form of blessings.
第二节里面呢，他说敌人就去见所罗巴伯和以色列的族长，对他们说：“请容我们与你们一同建造，因为我们寻求你们的上帝与你们一样。自从亚述王以撒哈顿带我们上这地以来，我们常自治上帝。”
In verse 2, today's message, they came to Zerubbabel.And to the heads of the families, and said, Let us help you build, because like you, We seek your God and have been sacrificed to him since the time of Ashdan, king of Assyria, who brought us here.
那从表面来看，有人来帮忙建造圣殿，不是一个很好的消息吗？
It looks in the appearance that these people are willing to help. And what's wrong with that?
但是他们是谁呢？
But who are they?
列王记下十七章里面呢，就有讲到这批人是怎么来的。
In the second king, chapter 17, verse 24 and 34, and it tells where these people are coming from.
他说呢，自从北国以色列亡国以后呢，亚述王就从巴比伦古他安置这些撒玛利亚的城邑，代替以色列人，他们就得了撒玛利亚，住在其中。他们又惧怕耶和华，又侍奉自己的神，从何邦迁移，就取何邦的俸俗。
Verse 24 of Second King, the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutan, and set them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in the towns.
所以呢，这些人呢，其实他们不是敬拜耶和华神的。
So actually, though these people are not worshiping the Lord.
所以当违规的领袖所罗巴伯听到这些人要来帮忙的时候
，So they when the leaders of the exile, Zerubbabel, and when they hear about this,
他又想到这些人是拜多神的人，你跟他合作。不是走上从前国家灭亡的这条路吗？
If we cooperate with these people, then the history of the of losing their country may repeat.
所以第三节里面呢，他们就回答说：“我们建造上帝的殿与你们无干，我们自己为耶和华以色列的上帝协力建造，是照波斯王塞鲁士所吩咐的。”
So they tell these people.In verse 3, you have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us.
以色列人呢，他的敌人其实呢是希望呢通过渗透去破坏这个建堂的计划。
The enemies of the Israelites want to destroy the plan of rebuilding the temple by penetrating into the Israelites.
但是呢，当他们的计划给人看穿了，那么这个狐狸的尾巴就露出来了。
But when their scheme was exposed, they showed their true purpose.
第四节说哪地的民就在犹大人建造的时候使他们手发软，搅乱他们。从波斯王塞鲁士年间，直到波斯王大流士登基的时候，回买谋士要败坏他们的谋算。
So verse 4, the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribe officials to work against them and frustrate their plan during the entire reign of Cyrus.King of Persia and down to the region of Darius, King of Persia.
那遵守神的旨意呢？我们一定会遇到拦阻。
If we are doing God's will, we definitely will get into trouble.
但是呢，我们要记得圣经有一个原则。
But we need to remember a principle.
就是哥林多后书里面六章十四节所讲的。你们和不信的人原不相配，不能同父一轭。
We need to remember what the Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, and we should not be yoked together with those unbelievers.
这个就是为什么呢？当时这个所罗巴伯拒绝跟这些拜多神的人合作。
This is why the Jewish leader refused.The help from the enemies of Israelites.
我们教会最近建堂
，and our church is building a new building.
那么我们 也问自己一个问题吧。
We can also ask ourselves a question.
那么我们能不能接受不信主的人的奉献呢？
Should we accept the offering from those unbelievers?
那你看呢？以斯拉呢？其实他没有问题去接受当时波斯王给他们的支持的。
Actually, the Israelites did not have the problem to accept support from others.
他一章六节讲到了，其实波斯当时四围的人也有支持他们违规。
In verse 6 of chapter 1, actually the Israelites also accept the support from the people around.
三章七节讲到了，他们也通过外邦人帮助他们拿到这些木材。
Verse 7 of chapter 3, it's mentioned that they hired the people around to help them to prepare the log.
所以我相信呢，比方说你接受不信主的人的奉献，或者甚至他们在建造的过程里面成为一个工人的参与的，这个是没有问题的。
So I don't think it's a problem to accept the help from those unbelievers.
但是呢，如果他是跟你一同做计划的，那么呢，这个就是违反了同父异母的这个原则。
But if they are making the decision with you, then this is against the principle.
这个就是圣经呢所禁止的事情。
And this is what the Bible forbids us to do.
以斯拉记第四章第二个我们学到的原则呢，就是神未曾应许，神的旨意不包括受苦。
From chapter 4 of Ezra, the second principle we learn is God has not promised his will won't be included suffering.
第四到第五节呢，他讲出以色列人面对三种不同的苦。
Verse 4 and 5, it summarizes three types of sufferings.
第一种呢，就是他们的敌人使他们的手发软了。
The first one is the people was discouraged.
手发软的意思呢，就是沉下去的意思。
The original meaning is sink.
就是呢，你觉得很沮丧，没有力的这个感觉。
Or the same meaning as you being disheartened or weakened.
第二样苦难呢，就是呢，他们的敌人来搅乱他们。
The second suffering is they were made afraid.
英文呢把这个意思翻得更好，就是呢吓怕他们。
The English translation is to terrify them.
第三个苦难呢，就是他们的敌人会败坏他们的谋算。
The third one is make them ineffectual.
败坏就是破坏的意思呢。
So that means break their, make them to be inefficient.
就是让他们不能成功。
So that they could not succeed.
所以呢，在你会看到以色列人呢，当时从担忧到惧怕。
So you can see the Israelites starting from discouraged and then be afraid.
从惧怕呢到一事无成。
And then they end up didn't do anything.
第五节讲到呢，从波斯王塞鲁士年间，直到波斯王大流士登基的时候。
It says verse 5, during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
这个就是公元前536年到520年，有16年这么长。
And there's 16 years between 536 BC to 520 BC.
第6到23节呢，是记载了以色列人被攻击的两个例子。
Verse 6 through 23 recorded that the Israel was attacked twice, two examples that the Israelites were being attacked.
那我们知道呢，以色列人第一次违规建圣殿的时候呢，是在波斯王塞鲁士的元年呢。
We know the first attempt that the return and rebuild the Holy Temple is during the year of King Cyrus, the king of Persia, which is
538 BC.
But the finish of the temple was at the year 515 BC.
但是在第六到二十三节的两个例子呢，只是是发生在建好圣殿以后的时间的。Actually,
the two examples we see from verse 6 to 23 happened after the finish of the Holy Temple building.
第六节讲到这个王，亚哈水鲁王呢，他是公元前485年才做王。
The king mentioned in verse 6. It's Xerxes. He was the king at the year 464 BC.
485
BC. I'm sorry.
后来第七节的这个亚大奢士王呢，他是464年才做王。
The other king, Artaxerxes. Was the king at year 464 BC?
他们的这两个例子呢，其实跟建殿没有关系，是有关建城墙的事情。So
these attacks has nothing to do with rebuilding the building, the temple, but it's actually building the wall.
那么为什么这个以斯拉会把这两个例子、这两个控告放在这篇圣经里面呢？
Why Ezra quoted these two examples here?
我想以斯拉想我们了解。
I think Israel wants us to know.
犹大人受苦不是单单只在这16年里面。
The suffering for these Israelites was not last only 16 years.
你以为建好这个圣殿，这个苦难就结束吗？
And don't think that the suffering would be done after the building was built.
其实是以后80年他们还是面对他们的敌人的攻击。
Actually, they are facing the attack of enemies for a period of 80 years.
从第7到23节里面呢，以斯拉也让我们见到他的敌人呢的势力有多庞大。
And from verse 7 through 23, and we can see how strong the enemies of Israel.
它里面包括这些高官,
they can have high officials.
这个省长利雄跟书记申税,
it says the Rehum, the commander officer, and Shimshai, the secretary.
也包括了一些很比较低等的官员, 好像这些法官啊、阴差啊、议员啊、官长，在第9节里面的。
And also, it includes the lower rank officials in verse 9. It says judges, officials, and administrators.
这个范围也很广大。
It extends all to others.
有从 波斯一直到大河的四边的哪一带？
So the area covers from Persia to everywhere in the Trans-Euphrates.
所以呢，你见到了攻击以色列人的敌人呢，的范围啊是很广大的。
So the enemies are all over the places.
他们攻击。 这些以色列人的手法也是有不同的方法。They
use different strategies to attack the Israelites.
第一个方法就是摸黑。The
first method is defame.
12节里面呢，他们上奏这个王上，形容了耶路撒冷是一个反叛恶劣的城。In
verse 12, they write to the king. They describe Jerusalem is a rebellious and also wicked city.
第二招呢，我们叫是污蔑他。
The second method is slander.
这些人呢， 就说这些犹太人呢，他说如今王该知道，他们若建造这城，城墙完毕，就不再给王进贡教贺利税，终究王必受亏损。
It says, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute or duty will be paid, and eventually the royal revenue will suffer.
那其实以色列违规才五万人。
Actually, the total population of the Israelites is only 50,000.
他们如果真的建好这个城墙啊，也没有可能反抗这个波斯帝国。
Even they have the holy temple rebuilt, they don't have the power to rebel against the king of Persia.
所以呢，他们在十三节的这些话，其实是一个没有根据的污蔑他以色列人。
So those accusations are groundless.
最后一招呢，就是分化。
The last strategy they use is alienate.
他要这个波斯王怀疑这些以色列人。
They want the king to have doubts over the loyalty of the king.
十五节里面呢，他这些敌人呢就秦王啊，你去翻查从前的历史啊，你就知道这个城呢是背叛的城。最后他还要加一句，这城若再建造，城墙完毕，合适的之地，王就无份了。
You can look at it in verse 15. These enemies ask the king to look at the history of the city, and then they will find out the city is a rebellious city. And what's more important is the last sentence. It says, if this city is built and its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in trust. Euphrates.
所以呢，他们要把以色列人跟波斯王的关系呢分化。
So this way, they alienate the relation between the king and also the Israelites.
我不知道大家你有没有因为遵守神的旨意呢，经历敌人呢好像铺天盖地的一个攻击。
I don't know if you have ever. Because you're being obedient to God's will, and you are facing the attack from your enemies.
他们用摸黑，用无奈跟幻化的手段对付你。
They may use the strategy of defaming or slander or alienate.
让你沮丧，让你惧怕，最后甚至一事无成。
So that you'll be discouraged.And you'll be afraid, and you probably will do nothing in the end.
我们如果面对这样子的攻击的时候，我们应该有什么反应呢？
What should we respond if we're facing such challenges?
彼得呢曾经鼓励这些受苦的基督徒。
Peter once wrote to the Christians who were suffering.
他在彼得前书四章十二节提醒他们说：“亲爱的弟兄啊，有火的试炼临到你们。”不要以为稀奇，此乎是咒诅非常的事。
Peter reminded the disciples in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you.
彼得的意思就是，当人遵守神的旨意，面对苦难，不要以为是一个很特别的一件事情，应该是你意料之中的一件事。
What Peter really means that if you are facing suffering, and by doing God's will, it's actually expected. Don't be surprised.
彼得还继续说吧，神的旨意是没有应许我们不包括受苦的。
Peter continues, God's promise actually still includes suffering.
但是他继续说，我们倒要欢喜。
But he continues to say, but we should rejoice.
为什么我们受苦还要欢喜呢？
Why we need to be rejoicing while we're facing suffering?
彼得就说，因为你们是与基督一同受苦，使你们在他荣耀显现的时候也可以欢喜快乐。
In verse 13 of Peter, as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed.
彼得的意思就是，如果你现在跟与主一同受苦的时候，你将来一定会跟他一同得荣耀。
It means even though you are facing the suffering with God, and in the eventually you have the same glory with God.
神不单只保证我们将来的荣耀。
God not only promised we will get glory with Him.
十四节讲到，上帝的荣耀的灵常住在你们身上。
It also says verse 14, the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you.
这句话的意思就是，你受苦的这一刻，神就得荣耀，他的荣耀也与你同在。
It says in the moment you are suffering, and God is being glorified, and you have the same glory with Him.
我们知道，遵守神的旨意是困难重重。
We know how difficult it is doing God's will.
但是以斯拉的第四章里面，我们学到最后的一个原则。
But we can learn from Ezra chapter 4, the last principle.
就是神却应许他的旨意终必完成。
The last principle is God has promised his will would be done.
二十四节说于是在耶路撒冷上帝的殿的工程就停止，直到波斯王大楼是第二年。
Verse 24 of Ezra 4, thus the work on the house of God of Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
大楼是第二年，就是十六年以后。
The Darius king of Persia, that means 16 years later.
那么建殿这个事情又重新开始。
And the building, the rebuild of the temple start again.
其实呢，神在以赛亚书四十六章第十节里面呢，曾经前时预言。
Actually, God made a prediction in the book of Isaiah.
这里说，我从起初指明末后的事，从古时言明末未成的事，说我筹算必立定，凡我喜悦的，我必成就。我叫鸷鸟从东方来，叫那成就我筹算的人从远方来。我一说出，也必成就；我一谋定，也必造成。
Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned.That I will do.
那在这里所讲的从东方来的鸷鸟呢，就是讲到波斯王塞鲁士。
The bird talked here is actually referring Cyrus, the king of Persia.
这个早在换句话说早在波斯王塞鲁士两百年前呢，神已经说，我一定会完成这个重建圣殿的这个建设。
In other words, over 200 years ago, God is determined for the Israel to rebuild the temple, no matter how difficult it is.
神所开始的这个工程，他一定会完成。
God started this, and He will finish.
遵守神的旨意是一个很困难的事情。
Doing God's will is a difficult thing.
有些人觉知信耶稣以后，马上就遇到很大的攻击。
A lot of people, when they start to believe Jesus, they face all kinds of challenges and obstructions.
当我们立志做一个好的基督徒，做一个好的丈夫、好的妻子、好的父母的时候，我们会也会遇到很大的困难。
If you determine to be a good friend, a good husband, or good wife, or be an honest businessman according to what the Bible teaches, and then you face a lot of difficulties.
我们觉得，哎，我们立志做神的旨意， 但是过了这么多年，还是一事无成。
A lot of times we feel that we determined to do God's will, but we didn't really accomplish anything.
哇，我想起我自己的经历。
I remember, I will share an experience with you.
我34岁的这一年呢, 神呼召我全世界侍奉他。
At the year of 37, God called me to serve for him full-time.
所以当时我就在想, 哇, 37岁也不是一个小的年纪了。
So at that time, I asked myself, 37 is not a, I was already quite a few age.
所以呢，我不能选择了一般工作、一般读书的这条路了。
So I cannot decide to study half-time and also work half-time.
因为如果是这样子的时候，到我毕业的时候，我侍奉的日子很小了。
Otherwise, by the time I graduate, I will have less time to serve the Lord.
所以当时的做了一个决定。
So we decided.
我就是要全时间念神学。
I want full-timely to study in the seminary.
那么 全世界念神学就要把当时的工作辞掉。And
that means you have to quit your job.
那么你不工作哪里有饭吃呢？
But if you don't work, where you can make your ends meet?
所以呢，我就计划呢把我当时租的房子卖掉。So
I decided to sell the house we own.
那但是呢，我当时这样子的计划遵守神的旨意呢。
But even I followed I followed God's will, and God did not let us to be successful.
我第一样遇到的事情呢，就是因为要搬家了，我就弄伤了我的背。The
first difficulty we face is because while we were moving, I hurt myself.
所以呢，这个是破坏了我的神经了。
That's a damage to my nerve.
这个我上学后一个月以后呢，我就痛得不得了了，我要进医院。So
a month later, I was get so painful that I need to admitted to the hospital.
医生当时呢，其实是马上帮我动手术。The
doctor decided to have a surgery right away.
因为他说呢，如果我不马上动手术呢，我恐怕呢，我一生人呢，就不能走路了。
He said I will not be able to walk if I don't do the surgery right away.
那当时的手术很顺利。
The surgery was successful.
但是呢，这个手其实不是这个手术有问题，是因为这个伤太厉害了，有一个后遗症。
Actually, there's an after effect after surgery. It's not because the surgery, it's because of the damage to the nerve.
虽然我右腿到今天呢，我常常有一种肿胀的一个感觉。So
my right leg would still feel a feeling of swelling.
Swelling.
Sorry.
所以呢，我做完手术以后，经过一年的治疗啊。 这个感觉都不离开的时候呢，我就知道这个可能我一生人都会这样子。So
after a year's experience, so I realize this after effects will follow me my rest of my life.
所以我就问神，为什么我遵守你的旨意，你还是要给我一根刺呢？So
I ask God, even though I doing your will. Why you give me a song?
那么神最后是用一个人所写的一首诗，他的题目叫《一根刺》回答我的问题。God
used a poem written by somebody. It's called the song to answer my question.
应该我有放在上面的。那我他的意思就是，这首诗的开始说哈，我如一个 只该站在神宝座前，求神给我一份单单属于我无价的无价宝。当我从神手上拿到这礼物时，我就大叫：但主啊，这是一根刺，刺透我的心。你送我的是一份奇怪又伤痛的礼物。
In the poem, it says, "I stole the mendicant of God before His royal throne, and begged Him for one priceless gift which I could call my own. I took the gift from out His hand, but as I would depart, I cried, 'But Lord, this is a thorn, and it has pierced my heart. This is strange, a hurtful gift which Thou hast given me.'"
神说：“我儿，我赏赐美好的礼物。”而且我把最好的给你，我把礼物带回家，虽然这残忍的刺最初带给我伤痛，但随着年日过去，我学会爱这根刺更多。我学会神永不会给人一根刺而不给他恩典。神的脸本是给面纱盖住，神用这根刺把这面纱钉住了。
It continues.He said, "My child, I give you good gift and give my best to thee. I took it home, and though at first the cruel song hurt sore, as long years passed, I learned at last to love it more and more. I learned he never gave me a song without his added grace. He takes the song to pin aside the veil.Which hide his face.
神的旨意是要重建神的圣殿。
So God's will is to rebuild His temple.
但是其实他更关心的，其实是要通过建殿的这个事情建立神与人的关系。
And even He cares more to rebuild the relation between man, God, and man and God.
所以当我们因为遵守神的旨意受苦的时候。让我们通过这个经验更认识我们的神。
So when we encounter the suffering because we are doing God's will, let's be knowing God and be more close to Him.
我们最后一同祷告。
Let's pray.
亲爱的天父，我们谢谢你。
Oh Heavenly Father, we thank you.
因为每一样事情你赐给我们都是一份礼物。
Because everything you've given us is a gift.
你是为了我们好。
And it's for our own benefit.
有的时候我们拿到的时候我们觉得很痛苦。
A lot of times when we receive it, we feel it's painful.
但是其实我们通过这个痛苦这个苦难的时候我们更认识神。
And actually through the suffering we have and we can know you more.
我们感谢神你应许我们你的恩典是够我们所用的。
We thank you for promise that your grace is sufficient for us.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
Hear our prayer. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.